can confirm. I was on the team for the last Bond movie, No Time to Die, which is released in November. I'm very excited to see what it's going to look like.
Hello and welcome to another edition, a special edition of Verge's Alternative F1 podcast. We are joined, luckily enough, with a very special guest, which I'll get to in a second. But first of all, I introduce my partners in crime, Sam Wilson and Matthew Connell. How are you guys today?
Warm. That is the motto of the day. It is warm.
It's a hot one today. I wanted us to all wear shades, but I wanted to try to remain a little bit professional.
Did I not get the memo? Oh, sorry.
Oh, God. You see, we're just losing. We're losing viewers and followers already. Here we go. So we today are joined. We have a very special guest. We are joined by the amazing Naomi Schiff, W Series. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. Much like Matthew, I am very hot as well. Also in London. So it's a melting day today. But other than that, doing pretty good.
See, I'll tell you what, I think that all of us have got fans on, and we all are one step away from getting like a ice cream lolly or something like that, even though it's 11, 12 in the morning. first of all, we'll start off with our message from Mr. Connell, from our brand partners.
Thank you, Dre. Well, as ever, without good friends in this world, this podcast could be possible. So as ever, always make sure to check out Verge Magazine, www.vergemagazine.co.uk. And of course, our main podcast partners, sponsors, best mates, whatever you want to call them, Natural Barber, amazing hair product that actually I use, perfect for this hot weather when it's going to drip into my eyes and feel like I'm on fire. But it's all good. It's perfectly healthy. Free synthetics, petrochemicals, other harmful ingredients. And of course, it was endorsed by Gareth Bale, who calls it his go-to hair product. So because of Natural Barber Company being good friends of us, you can also benefit because of that. So if you go to the website, order products, and use the code ALTSPORT25, you get free, you get 25% off and free delivery. So naturalbarber.co, go there, check it out, get some wicked hair like me. And Andre, back to you, my man.
Yeah, see, unfortunately, I didn't get the memo with the hair stuff because
my... I'm going to get on that. I need some hair products.
Exactly, oh, that's the place that goes.
For those who are listening, Naomi automatically has come in and just blown us out of the water with, her stereo sounding mic and also the rig that she's got. And helmets as well. So literally, the rest of us are just sitting in our living rooms. So,
I guess I'm lucky as well that W Series has such good partners like Logitech that gives you really good equipment. But yeah, this is a practicality aspect as well, because when we're done with this, I can just start practicing. So
that's true.
Win-win.
That's true. Logitech, if you want to give us anything at all, we will be grateful for that. At all. I'll just leave that there. Naomi, how have you been? How's this lockdown been for you, and how have you been keeping yourself entertained?
Pretty good, honestly. I think there's been some waves. I think everybody's gone through those moments where it was great and then it's terrible. But I think I've sort of rode all those waves already, and now it's kind of like calmed down. But I think like one of the saving graces is this W Series Esports League, because it keeps me really busy and it gives me that competitive aspect that I sort of, live for. But also, we're pretty good friends, all the drivers. So it's a good way for us to, be social as well. That sort of saved me from going crazy, I think.
We're quite a diverse podcast here. We're all from different backgrounds, and yourself being German and Rwandan citizenship, which is an unbelievable mix. Also born in Belgium. So how come you ended up in London of all places?
Okay, so I think whenever anybody asks me where I'm from, it's like, I don't know what to say. It's really confusing. I've lived sort of everywhere. I consider myself a world citizen. Born in Belgium. So I am actually Belgian passport. Grew up in South Africa, moved to Germany the last 5 years. I was working there, and because of the fact that I had an address there, I was able to get the German racing license and represent Germany. And now I've moved to London because I've joined the team at W Series in the office as well. So that's what's brought me here. And unfortunately, I feel like I'm being robbed of my experience because I'm just stuck at home. But yeah, luxury problems, I guess.
I feel like, especially like a day like we have today with what we are supposedly meant to have, the hottest day of the year so far, at least for now, London feels like a different, like feels like a different country. Do you feel like London's always going to be a home, or do you ever have aspirations like us where I dream of being on the beach, but do you feel like you hope that the race career can take you to other parts of the world?
Definitely. I don't think I'm ready to settle down yet. So I think I'm still on my path, and we'll see where I end up, but I'm just enjoying it every minute. You know, moving to new countries is tough, but it comes with a lot of benefits as well, so I'm enjoying that.
You can't really beat London in the summer either. I mean, I came back for the first time in like 13 weeks last weekend, and the first thing I did was go sit in the park and have an ice cold beer, and it was the
which
best.
Park
Peckham. So I'm down in Peckham Rye.
Okay.
I'm heading to Hyde Park this weekend, I think. I'm definitely just gonna sit, let the world go by and do nothing.
I'm quite lucky. I live near Battersea Park, so that's really practical. It's like a 1 minute walking distance. So.
I've heard that's quite quiet recently as well. It's been a little bit, maybe they were lying.
Not the part of Battersea Park that I was sitting in.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's out there sunbathing left, right, and center.
Absolutely.
The dodgy end, that's what it is, probably. The dodgy end of Battersea.
Fight for your space.
So you were talking about obviously where you've lived, where you've come from, and one of you know, you started racing in South Africa. But what was it that like inspired you to get into racing? What kind of did you wake up one day and say, I want to drive a car really, really quick, or did you watch something on TV that made you go, yeah, I want to do that?
So I didn't ever have that like, oh my God, I want to be a racing driver random moment. Mm. I did, in hindsight, looking back when I was really, really young, my dream toy was like an electric car that I could drive myself in the garden. So maybe it was already in there. But I was invited to an indoor go-karting birthday party at the age of 11. And yeah, that's where I fell in love. Went there with no expectations and left there saying, okay, I want to do this again every day.
This is my problem, is because I've been to those indoor go-karting tracks for like stag do's and I've been amazing. Yeah, I then haven't become a racing driver. So I feel like there's definitely something different between your level of driving and my level of driving.
Well, I mean, when I started at the age of 11, my driving standards were also pretty poor. I mean, compared to the other kids, it was pretty okay, but I wouldn't have considered myself any good at that point. But I think I was really lucky that I sort of begged my dad to take me back, and he did. And I think that's where it makes a difference. You know, a lot of parents would have been like, I don't know, you know, but my dad was like, yes, boy. And so he took me back quite a few times, and then eventually he got himself a go-kart, and he surprised me with one a couple of, I don't know, months later, I assume. And yeah, that's where it all started taking shape.
What did it feel like? What did it feel like? Because I remember sitting in my first car, like when I was 17. What did it feel like sitting in your first race car? Like sitting there at the wheel, like, or probably putting the steering wheel on and then going, this is like my car and I'm going to race the hell out of this.
So I was 12 when I started like racing karts properly. And I think I was 16 when I raced my first car, which was a Formula VW. So not your typical, you know, like GT sports car, the kind of car that you would get the first car you drive, you know, it was a very special kind of first car. And yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I was quite intimidated, to be honest, because I didn't have a driver's license. I wasn't legal to drive on the road or anything like that. So it was a big step to go from karts to that. I mean, people make it all the time, but it is initially like, whoa, what's this, you know? But yeah, a very special feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine it's quite... I mean, the only thing I've got to compare it to is the Ford Fiesta I got at 17. So you're much better than that.
I mean, my first car was a Volkswagen Polo, so not far off.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Very sensible car. I mean, I was expecting something different.
Well, looks can be deceiving.
Which means that she drove it far faster than normal people do.
Well, I won't divulge into that.
Right. I'm going to get into the good stuff. I am an Instagram junkie. Okay. I'm always posting, but I was I had a look at your Instagram, and your Instagram seems absolutely ridiculous. Like, it's far, far better than mine, which
okay, good ridiculous then.
Yeah, not rubbish. That'll be the end of this interview.
I was like, okay, what do you mean?
Oh, what the hell? What are you saying? Huh? Basically, you've got you seem like a quite adrenaline junkie, because you have you skiing and you're up mountains, and then also you do amazing. I'm not a big fan of TikToks, but I like your one that you
Thank
did
you.
With the helmets. So yeah. So tell me, like, you know, what is that, like a really good a habit that you love? Being
social media,
on Instagram. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, to be honest, I do it because it's a great way to connect with, like, my people. Mm-hmm. Is what I like to call them, rather than fans. But yeah, it's quite difficult, especially now, you know, being stuck at home, to like come up with interesting content to put out there. And I'm tired of, you know, putting so many throwbacks. It makes you like nostalgic, and I want to put like current things. And I was like avoiding the TikTok bandwagon for a really long time. But then, yeah, somebody asked me if I wanted to do that Women in Motorsports Don't Rush Challenge. And I thought, what better way to join? Because that has a positive, you know, message, and it's straight up my alley, and it turned out really cool.
So in that video in particular, how long did that take to put together?
It took, I think my part of the video was like 10 seconds, and it took me easily 2 hours to film that. Between outfit changes and like not having a tripod to put my phone on, and it has to stay in the same position, and then you have to cut the footage, and yeah, there's a lot of hard work that goes in.
Holding books together with your phone and the
absolutely, absolutely.
How many times did your phone fall down on the floor?
Well, it did fall like, I don't know, 2 or 3 times, but I put pillows on the floor because I didn't want to break. And then it was all about finding the same position to put it in, because of the fact that I was doing those outfit transitions, and you can tell if the camera moves position. So I was sweating, I was doing outfit changes, phone was falling. Ugh, a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes for 10 seconds of footage.
So as Dre said on your Instagram, there's like, I mean, I've seen there's jet skis, you're at the top of mountains, like all of that kind of stuff. What is, other than racing, which is your bread and butter, your sport, like, what you do for a living, what do you love to do to either kind of relax or just get that massive kick of adrenaline when you're not on a track?
So I used to, when I was living in Belgium, I was quite into Thai boxing, and then I moved to Germany, and I was living sort of on the border of Austria, which is in the Alps, and that opened up a whole new box of toys, you know. I think it was lakes, mountains, you name it, like, you had it there. So I got quite into hiking, and skiing, I would say, is definitely on the top of that list, though. Like, I wouldn't consider myself a great skier, but I absolutely love it. And you get that sort of, I find it quite similar to racing, in the sense that, like, you have to find the best line, and there's a lot of speed involved and adrenaline, and it's so much fun. I recommend it to everyone. Even if you're not any good, just go and have some fun.
So, Naomi, of course, there's been a lot happening this year. 2020 has been a wild one. Of course, like, starting off, unfortunately, this year, W Series 2020 season has been put on hold. What was your reaction to that, and how do you feel about that? Because, of course, now we have been given the E Series now as well. So just your thoughts about that, talking to the other races about that. What was that like once you heard the news that it was going to be on hold?
So, yeah, I think it was quite a long time coming before they announced it. And I think a lot of people already had their doubts, and given the current situation, it wasn't so much of a shock anymore when the news came around. But for me personally, I mean, I was on the driver's list last year, but I didn't qualify for 2020. So for me, it didn't make the world of difference, although if they automatically take all of this year's drivers to next season, that might mean that I'm also out of a seat for, you know, next season, which is what my goal was this year, was to prepare myself to get back in that seat for next year. But yeah, everything is sort of up in the air. We'll see what happens. And yeah, it is what it is. You know, I think the most important thing is to have a fair and equal championship and to keep everybody safe. And because of the fact that we have drivers coming from all over the world, it was just going to be almost impossible to sort of get everyone to the races safely. So yeah, unfortunate, I think, anyway, because I work there now, and there's a lot of stuff that we had in the pipeline that I think would have been really cool, which, you know, from that side, I'm like, you know, it's a shame. On the other hand, though, I'm also like, okay, now I'm out of a seat for a year, but so are all the other girls. So it brings us back to sort of an equal playing field, you know? So.
Exactly. You're like, you're now in the same boat. But I think what if there's a, you know, I guess hopefully, you know, there's a way that they can balance both things next year, because it'd be, of course, it'd be frustrating to wait another year. On the plus side of what we can take from this is, you know, everyone's back together again in a sense, everyone's e-racing. We've discussed this kind of off air, but personally, are you much of a gamer, and have you found a progression through this e-gaming series? Of course, we saw your results in F1, in round one it was a bit trickier, but round two, you're starting to get back up there and you're kind of got more into your stride.
Yeah, so I think esports is, I think we're so lucky, honestly, because so many other sports are like on hold right now, but they can't do what they usually would do. Whereas I can sit here at home and hone my skills, which is something not a lot of people can say that they can do. So it is great that we have it. It is also very frustrating, though, because it's not quite like the real world in the sense that you're more likely to make contact and, you know, things like you're a little less cautious because there's less risk involved. So yeah, things happen. The first round wasn't great for me. You know, the first race, I messed it up by myself, crashed into the pit wall. And then, yeah, then I just had start crashes in every race. So I wasn't even able to really show the potential. And the second race was a lot better. Enjoyed that. So hopefully we can keep that going. You know, tonight's another race, and cross your fingers for me, guys.
There you go.
Do what you need to do.
Got the full squad.
But I don't know if I would consider myself a gamer. I've now recently started my Twitch account, and I actually really enjoy that. So
what's the handle? How do we find you?
It's Naomi Schiff 99. And yeah, I stream on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights.
Love it. Hey, here we go. The Twitch is so important. But it's so important. It's like, I think that's been one thing, like, Twitch can like look at themselves and be like, you know what? We've benefited here, because you've seen the amount of people that have been taking part, and it's relevant from on an F1 level to a W Series level, because we just get to see more of everyone's personalities, which is obviously so important.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, you know, like when we're driving, I have my helmet on and I have one guy in my ear, one guy or girl, my engineer, and that's it. Now I have all my people who sit in the chat section here next to me, and they give me advice on my driving. And it's a great way to connect, you know, they get to see what I'm doing, how I'm reacting when I'm doing it. And it's really cool. I think it's really a very neat tool to have.
Double question here. One, were you much of a race sim racer before? And two, how did you get any help getting started? Did you ask other people like, hey, or are you more of a like, just go on YouTube and get information kind of thing?
So was I much of a sim racer before? No, I never had my own equipment at home. So they've provided, W Series has provided this for all the drivers so that we have equal equipment. I've actually now ordered another sim for myself. So I'm starting to become that sim racer that you talk about. But last year I didn't have any budget to do any testing aside from the actual races. So the only testing that I did was sim training. And I would go to the Netherlands to a very professional simulator place. And so I did have experience in that. And yeah, so every now and again, when I'm struggling, I call my man in Netherlands and I say, hey, I have this issue. This is the onboard. I'm sending it to you now. Find me a second. Sometimes I watch onboard videos. Sometimes I watch Twitch videos. Like, you know, you have the likes, like you said, Max, Lando, Kelvin van der Linde, so many really quick drivers. And yeah, I can see exactly what they're doing. And I'm lucky that I'm friends with quite a few of them. So sometimes I also reach out to them and say, okay, help.
You've got some friends in some serious places there.
Well, if you're trying to go to serious places, surround yourself with serious people.
I like that. I like that.
We'll
keep that one. I'm gonna use that one on Instagram. Just take you in.
Put that in the caption.
Exactly. Exactly. You give me a caption for another picture. You're feeding my addiction here. So this year you was appointed a W Series Diversity and Inclusion Ambassador. How important is that, and even more so after, you know, obviously recent events in America?
It's super important. I mean, I think W Series already like hits the nail quite well in terms of, you know, gender empowerment, which is just one thing that falls under that umbrella of diversity and inclusion. But obviously there's so much more we can do, and there's so much more that we're planning to do. And yeah, I'm super passionate about it, and I take my role quite seriously. And I'm honored to have that role. So hopefully, as soon as we're back in the office, we can continue to get those balls rolling on all the things that we had planned in terms of, you know, really going out there and helping people in minority groups at grassroots levels. That's one thing that we want to work on, you know, because obviously we have our number of girls now, but we're trying to, you know, bring up the levels of participation, but also give opportunities to people who potentially don't have access to these kind of opportunities. So super important. It's something I'm very passionate about, and yeah, let's see where we get with it. But yeah, we're working at it one day at a time.
So just to delve a bit deeper into your role, so like give us a day-to-day things of like what you'll be doing and what you personally would be pushing for.
So a lot of research. I talk to a lot of, you know, for example, one of the things that we're working on is creating a program for girls in school. We are focusing mostly on the girls aspect, but it's not necessarily going to be limited only to girls, because that's not exactly diversity and inclusion, is it? So, but yeah, obviously W Series is all about the girls. So we're trying to focus mostly on that. So it ranges from a lot of things in terms of, you know, looking for partners to help us back those projects, to getting in touch with people who have experience doing those things before, going out there, speaking to people in the STEM areas, you know, science, technology, and mathematics. And yeah, basically, there's a lot of things that fall under this. And my job is to sort of pinpoint the things that we can be doing better, and then to market them basically as best as we can, and find partners to help us get that done.
So Naomi, so Germany obviously has an incredible racing history. So for yourself, representing the German side of things, just how important and how proud are you to do that?
It was great. I mean, there was no other German driver on the field. So it not only made sense, but at that time for me, Germany was home. I had been there for 5 years, and it was basically the place where I lived the longest my adult life. So I was really proud to, you know, be waving the German flag, and obviously they have a huge motorsports culture, which put a lot of pressure on me, because we had two races in Germany. So I was like, oh Lord, yeah, I want to make these people proud, you know. But yeah, it was great, and I had a lot of support, so I think it was the right decision. And yeah, I think there's a lot of conflict. There's some people who are like, no, you need to represent South Africa, or no, you need to do this. And I'm trying to represent everyone, you know. If I had a flag,
tug of war.
Yeah, you know, so that's the decision I went with, and I'm very happy to have done that. So, yeah, I mean, now I can't represent Germany anymore because I don't have an address there, so I can't get a German racing license. So I took that opportunity while I had it, and proud to have done it.
I'm going to say, if I had a choice, being half Filipino, I'd probably fly my Filipino flag. I'd be like, the English have got enough, and we've squandered enough chances, so I'm gonna represent the other team. But going back on a German stuff. So of course, like, you know, you had Seb Vettel being mentored by Michael Schumacher. Of course, Germany is such an important part of motor racing, and of course with Mercedes and beyond. So for yourself, like through this racing Germany, have there been, not necessarily just Germany, but have you ever had fellow countrymen and women that have been really influential for you during this race journey of yours?
You know, when I was living in Germany, I actually had an ex Formula One driver as a colleague, Thomas Enger. Maybe you guys know him from Czech. So he helped me with a lot of things. But I don't only look up to people who are in very high, who come from very high places. So obviously Thomas came with, you know, leaps and bounds of experience and great knowledge, but I was managing a race team, so I came across a lot of drivers, and I like to say that there's a little bit in every driver, that's maybe not every driver, but like a lot of them that you sort of look at and you say, okay, I want to be a little bit more like that in that aspect, or I want to do a little bit more of this in my driving. So I think I've been influenced by a lot of drivers. Another good friend of mine who's racing GT4 at the moment, but he's super talented. Like, I've honestly, the most talented I've been around anyway, is Mads Siljahaug from Norway. And he was not only a friend, but, you know, he always helped me whenever I had my races. He was there giving me advice or helping me with X, Y, Z. And so, yeah, I'm formed with a lot of opinions and, you know, things that people brush off onto you.
So one thing that I wanted to kind of ask you about, and you touched on it earlier, is that all of the girls, as you say, when you've been back in the sim race and you've been able to connect with them all again, what we spoke to Tasmin Pepper and Belen Garcia a couple of weeks ago, and both of them have kind of said that the W Series is very close. Like, the girls are all good friends. There's no, yeah, you're on the track, you're fierce competitors, right? You're going wheel to wheel, you're competing like with millimeter space between your wheels, but off the track, you are there for each other, you're good friends. As you say, you've managed a race team in a different series. Like, is that unique to W Series, or is it on every series, or is it just something that being in such a tight-knit group with W Series is kind of unique?
So I think that generally in motorsports, there's a lot of off-track relationships between drivers. But this I would say is particularly unique, because, you know, often you always say that, you know, your co-driver or your teammate is the one that you really need to beat. And here, you know, we have that with, what, 20 of us. So that would normally, you would expect that would like create a lot of tension and competitiveness. And there is all of that, but somehow everything sort of worked. And I think we were all surprised by it. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that we all went through that pretty intense selection phase together before we knew who the final 18 drivers were. So we had already sort of developed those relationships before we knew we would be competitors in the end, you know? But yeah, it's really cool to, you know, go back to the paddock and have talks with the girls like they're your homies, you know? That's not so regular.
It's like being a race team manager, how does that, you have a very different responsibility other than just going in a track and going around a corner. Like, you've got a team to manage, you've got engineers to manage. How is that being a team manager when you're also trying to kind of drive a car? Do you prefer now being able to focus purely on your driving, obviously aside from your role with W Series, or do you kind of like having those fingers in every pie, managing the team, managing engineers, that kind of thing?
So it's kind of like a rock and a hard place, because I enjoy both of them so much. Obviously, driving is my absolute passion, and it's what I've been doing for ages, and it's what I've always wanted to do. And I kind of fell into that position of team manager, maybe not on accident, but the previous team manager at the team where I was working left, and my boss offered me the job. And I knew in that moment, I was like, okay, this is a tough decision, because it means that if I'm team managing, I'll be out of a seat, you know, more regularly. And unfortunately, I didn't have much of a choice, but I also said, okay, I'm going to take it with open arms. And I fell in love with that role, to be honest. I really enjoyed it. And it's something that whenever I decide to hang up my helmet, I hope to, you know, get back into that and potentially be the next Toto Wolff, maybe.
I was about to ask you the exact same question. So when you stop racing, are you going to do it again? But I guess, yeah. Toto, again, being German and
Austrian, I think.
Austrian, even, yes. Do you see him as like someone you want to aim? I know, Lewis, you've spoken before about Lewis being someone you look up to. Do you see Toto as the same kind of?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I've watched a lot of videos of Toto, and you know, the way he manages his team, and I think he's quite an all-round individual. He also sort of has the experience having been a driver himself at one point, yeah. And then he's got his like entrepreneurial skills. So there's a lot to him that I really admire. And if I would want to, you know, pick one team manager that I want to be like, or team boss, it would be Toto. So yeah, I mean, definitely.
He must be a pretty good mentor, if I'm honest, like to meet him and learn from him. That's like,
I know.
best you can really do.
I actually was, and I have regrets for this, but I went to the Formula E race in Marrakesh shortly before the lockdown, and Toto was like two steps away from me, and I was like, oh my God, I need to go say hi. And I didn't do it, and don't ask me why I didn't do it, because I'm that person who's usually I know, but he was so busy, there were so many people around him, and then this person wanted a photo and that person, and I just felt like, okay, we've got the weekend, like, well, I'll bump into him again, but I didn't. So
we were lucky enough to bump into him. When I say bump into, I literally just waited until he finished his interview like a stalker. So you see an interview with me just in the background. I didn't realize how tall and imposing he is. He's massive, very intimidating man. So I can understand why everyone
I don't
does
find him intimidating. Like, do you find him intimidating?
Well, I mean, he's like twice the size of me, pretty much. But and you seem a lot more confident than myself. So when I actually asked for a selfie with him, but you know, do understand that my Instagram addiction outweighed my fear. So if I asked for that selfie, regardless, and he just said, no worries. He grabbed
Get
me
your
just
Instagram
like his,
pictures.
Yeah, exactly. He put his arm around me like a child, and then took that picture. And it was great. It was literally great. So, that's definitely one of the moments. Just before I ask another question, delving into your career and career goals, we obviously had Tasmin Pepper on the, which is a good friend of yours, on the on our podcast a little while ago. And then we had a barbecue challenge with her, which she hasn't sent us her version of this barbecue.
Bri.
Is it Bri? Okay, I'll get it again. Please don't use this as a clip again, guys, because like literally.
No, please use it. Please use it. We can start a Bri challenge.
She'll be like, she'll be like, how many times did I tell you the same thing
but
and you've still been wrong?
Tasman has a very South African accent. She would say something like a Bri. You know, Bri.
Exactly.
But it's a Bri.
See, this is how we got
it
wrong.
If you pronounce it, it's a Bri.
Bri.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Dre is the barbecue expert of the team here. So, like, you've got to get that a knockdown, Dre. That's all yours.
Bri.
So Naomi, I was going to ask, obviously it's nice weather that we're having. Am I expecting to see some type of barbecue stories or something like that on your socials?
Absolutely not, no.
Pro athlete, Dre. We got to keep it.
Don't get me wrong. Barbecue and Bri culture was something that I grew up on. But
yeah.
I don't have a Bri or a barbecue, whatever you want to call it. And I do not even want to know what that's going to turn out like, because I've never done it. And it's something that scares me. I like cooking on a stove, but with the fire.
So what's the go-to dish then?
Made by myself?
Yeah. Not by your chef.
Well, okay, Caesar salad.
Right.
With
the best salad.
Caesar salad with roast potatoes.
Yeah, because I'm just weird like that. Usually I get Caesar salad and fries because that's just my thing.
At least it's not like two opposite, because that's kind of acceptable balance.
It works. Believe me, you guys are all invited. I'll make you a Caesar salad with roast potatoes and you won't complain.
We're going to hold you to this because we're holding... We're holding Tasmin to her video of this. We've been waiting for a long while, and every video I'm going to remind her of this as well.
I won't join that challenge, though. I'm sorry. I only things that I can calculate whether I'll be good at them. You know.
You won't even want to win.
Calculate risk. Well, I like it.
We can have a Caesar salad. That's fine. That's not
okay.
a problem.
I'm down. I'm there for it.
Oh, I think I'm gonna regret that. You're good at cooking meat, and that's it.
My Caesar salads are pretty well above average. And
really?
Oh, Lord. Dangerous.
I'd like to eat it.
The Caesar salad challenge.
You're offering.
We're gonna have to do that because he looked like when he was barbecuing the last time, and he put that on social. He looked like he almost burnt his hand. So, we're gonna see.
My barbecue skills. I make the best barbecue ribs. Oh, amazing.
Outrageous statement.
Guys, I'm on a raw food diet for a week now, like a cleanse. Is so it? You guys are talking about a lot of delicious food and it's stressing.
Can't break it. You can't get anywhere off
don't
the
break.
Track. We've got to, you know.
Well, let's do the whole challenge. Like, a month or two, when this whole thing's over, your raw food diet's out, and we can sit in a park and be like, cool, Caesar salad and ribs.
Sweets. Tell me when and where I'll be there.
So other than racing, what are your career goals, you know, looking towards? You know, obviously you mentioned that you want to at some point be a team manager or boss. Yeah. Is that one of your, you know, imminent goals after you
Definitely.
Racing, I mean, which we hope is not soon?
To be honest, other than managing the race team that I managed, I've not, you know, worked too much in that area. So I still need to learn a lot of things. And I kind of, part of the reason why I left that job was because I felt like there was not more I could learn in that position. So I would love to work in a team where I can, you know, even now we have, you know, Dave Ryan, who's chief of operations for W Series. I'm sure that I can learn a ton of things from him. So right now I'm focusing on collecting information from the people around me, and sort of putting my toe in the water in a lot of things. So I'm working for W Series as a diversity and inclusion ambassador, and I also help out on the commercial team. So that's, you know, the work side. And then I also stunt drive a little bit on the side in movies.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about stunt drive, because I was, when we were doing our research about you, and you see so many things, lots of stuff, like stuff from way back, new stuff, loads of W Series stuff. So, because I think there's a few ladies within W Series that have experiences, but of course, everyone has a different experience of stunt driving. So can you tell us about that? Because I've seen this, and if I'm right in believing so, that you, of course, like the prime of cool stunt driving, James Bond. Is that right? Can you confirm? And what's the story?
Yeah, I can confirm. I was on the team for the last Bond movie, No Time to Die, which is released in November. I'm very excited to see what it's going to look like. And yeah, it was, to be honest, I have no idea how that came around. And I got a DM from a guy on Instagram, you know. So, you know, take your Instagram serious, because big opportunities can come to Instagram.
You never know. That's the thing. Useful DMs can happen too. It is a business tool.
Absolutely. So I got this DM and he was like, hey, we're looking for a driver of your ethnicity to double an actress that looks like you. Please get in touch. And I was like, as if.
Come on, mate. Nice try. Yeah.
So I didn't even respond. I was like, this guy's got time. Okay. So then he DM'd me on my Facebook page, and I thought, okay, this guy's got a lot of time. You know, he's really bored. And then I got a call one day, and somehow they had tracked me down. They got my phone number, and then I had the guy on the phone, and he's like, hey, I've been trying to send you these messages.
Hey, answer your DMs, please. Come on.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, how rude. I didn't even respond, and it's real, like it's really real. And yeah, that was pretty intense to get that sort of role in that way. And yeah, very quickly after that I came to London, I went to the studios, had my fitting, and yeah, then we started working on my little parts of the movie. And amazing experience.
Amazing.
Totally different to, the motorsports world.
Exactly. And that's the thing, right? It's like, I think that's what's kind of cool about social media, and you have to take it seriously. There's a lot of bad that comes with it, but there is also a lot of good that does come with it. And yeah. I guess, like, I mean, who knows what would be the conventional way, like say 10, 15 years back, to want to become a stunt driver. You can't just go on like stuntdriver.com and be like, hello, here's my CV and here's... So yeah. It's a kind of cool thing. We have something, I mean, it's not really the same, but out of the three lads here, if there's someone that has also been in the James Bond film, albeit only as an extra, your boy, Skyfall. It's on TV the other day. So what's up, James Bond crew? So yeah, Dre and Sam. So if you want to talk to us, you need to get some James Bond credentials. You know, me and Naomi here are going to start the James Bond podcast. This is what's up. This is where we're heading. How many days, Naomi, did you... I know. I'm starting a rivalry here, so this is how it's going to go. It's like, us two, you guys do your thing. You know, we're the Hollywood crew up in here. Pinewood Massive. So that's how we're doing it. Maybe, how many days did you get to spend on set when you were doing James Bond?
Well, you know, initially I should have been on for around a month, which was super tricky because I had already signed, you know, I was managing the race team in two championships. I was hosting a TV show in Germany. I was driving in W Series. And then I got this and I was like, oh Lord, someone's going to kill me. But I couldn't say no. So I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know, we'll figure it out. And the dates worked well that it didn't clash with W Series, the races. So that was like, okay, sweet, we've got it. And then I'm sure you saw there was a lot of delays on this movie. So they changed directors and then they changed the script. And then one thing led to another. And then my character didn't have as many driving scenes. So I ended up only doing, I think in total, it was like 8 days. But yeah, amazing 8 days. Happy to have had them. And I mean, I had Daniel Craig sitting next to me in hair and makeup, and Lashana Lynch was sitting behind me, and it was great. It was amazing. Amazing cars, you know, big, spectacular stunts. Very cool.
Can't beat it. James Bond, massive franchise. And you know what? I wished one day I would have a DM of some kind of significance like that, where they're just going to be like, this is something cool that you want to do.
Holler at us.
I'm probably the same. I'll probably ignore it and, you know, and doubled up with a compliment that you look like an actress. It's like, yeah, thank you. All right, I'll start drive. So big up. Can't wait to see it.
I can't wait either. I mean, it's been delayed now to, what, November? So it's been a long wait, but I'm already going to start filming the next movie very soon. So excited about that.
Oh, okay. No little hints. Anything you can give.
Dinosaurs.
No way.
Can we come on set and do a behind the scenes?
I doubt.
Good luck, Sam. Good luck in the security.
I think we proved. I think this interview has proved that Naomi Schiff is better than us in every single way.
Oh, come on.
Possible. No way. Know, that's it.
I'm not better at making barbecues though.
Well, that's not a good thing for this. So you seem to seem to be into your fashion as well, and you mentioned earlier that you look up to Lewis Hamilton, and obviously he has his own fashion range. Is that something that you would love to be able to get, have in line in the future for yourself?
A fashion range?
Yeah, like
own line.
Yeah, well, I mean, you literally, that's the only thing that's left now that you haven't done.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm creative enough, because every time I need to buy something, I have to call my sister and say, okay, this is what I want. Can you find it for me? So most of my fashion advice comes from her. We'll give her credits for that. But yeah, I do want to start, like, I want to get my own merch, which I wouldn't consider a fashion line, but it's like baby steps towards the fashion line. But that's not it's not really something that's in the pipeline, unfortunately. Not enough adrenaline involved in fashion lines, I assume.
See, I'm shocked.
What are you going to call
Sorry, I'm sorry.
What are you going to call your merch line? I reckon you should call it Gear Shift.
Did you guys watch the second W Series race? There was a lot of wordplay with my family name. Shift.
Oh,
Shift
on.
Did a great shift.
Pun city.
A lot of dad
go.
Jokes
we,
going we, on there.
We literally are banned from doing anything remotely like that at all. Obviously,
I feel like Gear Shift is great.
No, we've seen some interviews from before, and we are not going down that route, because some of the
put it in
questions that we've seen.
Put it in a bowl.
I'm going to put it in a bowl, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if you pull it out, just forget it.
Yeah, just... Next!
I was quite surprised about that you're not into looking to get into like the fashion in any formal way. Are you like a sneakerhead, just like Jess Hawkins?
Not quite. I mean, I do love sneakers, but I wouldn't say that I spend most of my money on sneakers. I spend it on other things. But actually, if I look at my sneaker collection there, maybe that's just like perception, you know, because I have a ton of stuff and I just think it's not enough, or that I don't have that much. But when I moved here from Germany, I had to get rid of half of my stuff and I still can't fit anything. Like half of my stuff is not in closets. So it's a bit of a problem, I would say. So I would say yes.
See, so you have your question. You see, if you move the camera around, then I'm very sure there's a wall full of sneakers. You know, that are also
wall full is a bit much, but maybe half a wall.
You know what? We have to salute you, Naomi Schiff. You have been amazing, and it's been great to be able to get to know you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Really do appreciate that.
Absolutely, anytime.
And you know, guys, don't forget to like and subscribe the channel. You know, obviously you can catch us on at Verge Magazine online. and at Alternative Sport on Instagram and at Verge Mag on Instagram as well. Many things, you know, all going to be down below before I mess it up. See, I could do it. and you can find Nomi, and tell me if I'm wrong, Nomi, on Instagram at Nomi Schiff. Is that correct?
Yes.
You see?
And Nomi Schiff 99 on Twitch.
Yes.
Oh, damn. I messed up.
But don't worry, if you go to my Instagram, there's the link to my Twitch. It's all set up.
And now we're
rub it in people's faces all the time.
We'll be pushing for a follow on our social as well.
You'll get it right now.
Yeah, see. That's what
and
I'm
the start
about.
Of the Caesar that. Salad challenge. It's going to be big. Yes. 2020, here we go.
I think I regret doing that now. No,
honestly, this weekend, I'm going to make one and I'm going to knock it out of the park.
I think I'll do the same.
Let's go.
Right, well, so
how is this battle going to work? How's this battle going to work?
Stories. It's got to be on
stories. Okay.
100%.
But don't say you're going to do it and not do it like Tasman.
No, I'm going to get on your Tasman about that. I'm going to do it. But it's going to have to be Sunday because my raw food cleanse goes until Saturday. So yeah. Sunday.
Yes, yes, mine too.
Eyes peeled. Sunday season. Sunday season.
Thank you so much. No, thank you so much, Nomi. I really, really appreciate your time. And guys, keep a lookout for all Nomi's movements. She's a big mover and shaker and a film star and a Instagram star and just all round better than all of us on this show.
Oh, come on.
Thank you.
You guys
much.
Are pretty amazing as well.
Ah, shucks. Thank you. All right, peace.
Bye, guys.